So we're going to tackle Joel for the next 2 weeks. And if it is not a book you have read, I don't necessarily blame you, because I would imagine, you know, if you're listening to a radio preacher or TV preacher, or, you know, if you podcast any sermons, you're not going to find a ton of stuff in the Minor Prophets, because it is kind of an area that a lot of Christians don't like to go to, and it's a lot of areas that a lot of pastors don't like to preach, because, I mean, it's a Minor Prophet. It's a lot of doom and gloom, and it's kind of, to be honest, Minor Prophets were kind of given a very specific message for a very specific time, and oftentimes it wasn't necessarily a happy message. And I almost think, like, Minor Prophets are called by God to deliver a message that's really not popular with the people, and they kind of say at the end of it, okay, God, that's enough for me. I don't need to keep giving this. I mean, I'm good. I did what you asked. Just don't call me again. Thanks. I appreciate that. And so when we're coming across the Minor Prophets, we're coming into some of the more negative messages of the Bible. Part of that, and I start to think about it, you know, when I hear about friends and family and, you know, schoolmates and stuff that are critical of the Bible, they're like, well, that Old Testament, that's all doom and gloom. And then, I'm cool with Jesus, but the Old Testament, yeah, no, that's not for me. And when I started studying the Bible back in college, more than a year or two ago, I remember, like, one of the first books that I studied was actually Exodus. And so I started in the Old Testament, and I had grown up in a Catholic church. I was an altar boy. I was the whole nine yards, right? We had the very regimented services and stuff. And so I grew up in a church, but I didn't necessarily grow up in church. My family never actually read a Bible. We just went for our three readings every week to Catholic Mass. But I had heard the criticism, and I probably had also communicated in the rhetoric of how the Old Testament was all doom and gloom and the New Testament was all about grace. When I first started studying the Bible, I was like, there's a ton of grace in the Old Testament. What's all this doom and gloom that people are so afraid about? And so really, I think the doom and gloom that people are afraid of is probably mainly in the Minor Prophets, which is a very minimal part of even the Old Testament. So in our commitment to study the whole Bible in context, we are going to take on the Minor Prophets as well as the fun stuff. So we're going to kind of power through this, and I kind of explained, guy was asking me, he's like, so what's your strategy? How are you doing this today? Where are you going to get to? And I was like, listen, as a teacher in the classroom, there's several kinds of days that you prep for as you're going in. There's certain days where you're like, okay, this is going to be a fun day. I have a super awesome lesson, great examples, fun stuff. You know, we're going to do a science lesson where stuff blows up and it's really cool. The kids are going to love it. Or we've got this lesson where we use food, so kids are going to get snacks at the end, and that's really awesome. And then there's other days where you're like, there is stuff we've got to accomplish. Put your head down. Nose to the grindstone. We got a deadline. Get this done. That's, you know. And so I said to a guy, I was like, guy's like, so it's more the latter lesson? I was like, yeah, it's kind of more the latter lesson, because we are just going to be super text-centric, because I really want to get to a point where I can leave you with a positive message in this book. So we're going to just start out with Joel 1:1. We're going to keep reading until there's hope and enjoy the book as it is. I got bifocals. I thought that helped me. I guess not. I'm going to go like this. It says, the word of the Lord came to Joel, son of Pethuel. Now, by the way, when I went through all of the commentaries here, there's tons of history. And there was tons of, you know, Northern Kingdom versus Southern Kingdom kind of political stuff. And I figure after 2020, I'm going to kind of shy away from political stuff because Lord knows we've got enough political conflict to, I mean, I've definitely had my fill for a while. So my focus on this is not going to be a history lesson. My focus on this is not going to be about political conflict or anything like that. But I do see a place in here for some really strong application. So I'll just give that and then I'll read until we can get to that point. So here we go. It says, "Hear this, you elders. Listen, all of you who are in the land, has anything like this ever happened in your days or in the days of your ancestors? Tell it to your children and let your children tell it to their children and their children to the next generation. What the locust swarm has left, the great locusts have eaten. What the great locusts have left, the young locusts have eaten. What the young locusts have left, the other locusts have eaten." So you know how, like, you were in Sunday school as a little kid and they would talk about locusts being a symbol? That's not this. These are locusts. They're real locusts that are coming and devouring every little morsel of everything. It's taking absolutely everything away from the people of God. So I can only imagine being a person in this time with the constant buzz. And I've never lived with locusts, but where my grandparents lived, they had cicadas, and I was told that the buzz is very similar to that. And it just sounded like an electric buzz all the time. And these were not an infestation. This was a normal thing. So when the infestation would come, you have to imagine that these people would have been living almost like, it would be almost like living underneath electric wires. Just constant hum, buzz at every time. You know how if you've ever worked next to heavy machinery, you get kind of used to that noise. And then all of a sudden, once the noise shuts off, there's this powerful silence, right? So they were living in a time where there would have been this constant hum, this constant buzz in anything they were trying to do, every conversation they were trying to have, there would have been this buzz just constantly about them. And they're talking about the locusts are going through multiple stages. They're going through all their stages of life because what the old locusts have left, the young locusts, the next generation's coming and eating. And so they're getting to the point where there is not a single bit left. And so in verse 5, he's saying, "Wake up, you drunkards, and weep. Wail, you drinkers of wine, wail because the new wine, for it has been snatched from your lips." No new wine means there'll be no old wine later. Means everything we're saving up for today, for tomorrow, it's gone. We're using it all. There is nothing. We are using our savings. We are using our everything up. Everything is going away. So wake up, pay attention, look what's happening. A nation invaded my land, mighty armies without number. It has teeth of a lion, fangs of a lioness. It has laid waste to my vines and ruined my fig trees. It has stripped off their bark and thrown it away, leaving their branches white. Mourn like a virgin in sackcloth, grieving for the betrothed of her youth. I made a mention where I grew up. We used to have these army worms, and there were these caterpillars that would come in and just decimate the trees. We used to wrap our trees in tinfoil to keep the army worms from climbing up. And in fact, there were so many army worms, and we used to get this infestation every 7 years. So every 7 years, we would just have this constant caterpillars where you would look out, and it would look like everything was like just kind of wavy and moving. You'd look out on the streets, and it looked like the street was just kind of pixelated and moving. And when you would drive down the streets, it sounded like you're driving on Rice Krispies. It was just like that. It was like every 7 years where I grew up. And if you did not wrap your tree trunks in tinfoil, they would climb up your trees and they would just take every bit of green off of your trees. They would kill your trees. That's the only thing I can relate to in this as far as a natural concept. It is a absolutely, there is not a kernel of grain left. There is not a leaf on the tree. Your fig tree is gone. The blossoms are gone. The fruit is gone. The leaves are gone. It is going to kill every hope you have for being able to sustain yourself in the future. Let's move on. All right. Mourn like a virgin in sackcloth, grieving for the betrothed of her youth. In verse 9, grain offerings and drink offerings are cut off from the house of the Lord. The priests are in mourning. Those who minister before the Lord, the fields are ruined. The ground is dried up. The grain is destroyed. The new wine is dried up. The olive oil fails. Despair, you farmers. Wail, you vineyard, you vine growers. Grieve for the wheat and the barley because the harvest of the field is destroyed. They're sitting there saying, even the tithe has stopped. You cannot tithe because that 10%, and in the Old Testament, we would have had triple tithing. So that percentage that you used to devote to the Lord, you can't even afford anymore because you have to live off of that. If you want to eat tomorrow, you have nothing to give, right? So in the political times, there's a whole political backstory to this, but in that situation, they were still allowed to do tithing. They were still allowed to fulfill the religious actions, right? Though the spirit was not behind it, they were allowed to fulfill the religious actions, but it got to the point where their supplies were so decimated they did not even have a supply to fulfill the religious actions that were required. And if we know anything, we know how Jesus spoke about religious actions later on. All right. The vine is dried up and the tree is withered. The pomegranate, the palm, and the apple tree, and all the trees of the field are dried up. Surely the people's joy has withered away. So that whole first section is just simply an assessment of the situation as it is. There's no judgment, there's no interpretation, there's just simply understand that nothing is there. And when I mean nothing, I don't mean, oh, I've got this in the savings account that we can work on as much as I'd like that to be in the savings, we can use that to pay the next bill. No, this is, the money is gone. The bills are coming. The future is still there. If we want to survive, there is nothing. Absolutely nothing. Call to action is given now. And it's a call, biblical words are so, so nice. Lamentations. And we have a whole book of Lamentations. Basically, to interpret Lamentations, I'd interpret it as get on your face, bawl it out, cry, weep, mourn, lament. All right? So the call to action in all of this is, all right, lament. And very frankly, I don't know that I would have to be told to get on my face and cry about my situation in that. But in the lamentation, it's actually also asking you to get on your face, not only in sorrow for your situation, but to get on your face and repent before God. And I think the most interesting thing, and maybe it's just me getting older, or I don't know if it's a maturity thing or what it is, when I've gone through difficult situations, I used to sit there, and maybe it was the more intellectual side of me. I'd say, now, is this my enemy that is attacking the things that I have? Is this the enemy given over to me? Is it like Job, where the enemy has been given permission to attack? Or is it my own rebellion that's causing this? Is it, what is the situation? And I would sit there and I would flounder and I would sit there and I would circulate when difficult times came, and I would always be trying to get to what was the source of it? Why is it happening to me? Why me? Why me? Right? Now I come at this and I said, stuff is gone. It doesn't matter why it's gone. It doesn't matter the purpose for it being gone. The reaction is the same. If I was in rebellion to God, my reaction is get on my face and come back to God. If I was favored by God and allowed to go through this challenge, the reaction is get on my face and come before God. If it was my enemy attacking me, my reaction is get on my face and come before God. Doesn't matter what the cause of the situation is. And I think a lot of times, a lot of us, I'm included, historically, have always gotten caught up in the minutia of why did this happen? And I think the reason I say why did this happen is I foolishly think that if I can consider why it happened, maybe I can consider what can I do to keep it from happening again. But the other side of that is I have to understand I'm not in control. You know what the most interesting part of this is? That wheat wasn't theirs. My bank account isn't mine. Actually, everything I have from the moment that I told the Lord, my life is yours, everything I had wasn't mine. It was his. So it doesn't matter if I have a trillionaire, billionaire, quadrillionaire uncle that is leaving me mounds of money that I cannot fathom, or if I'm inheriting the rags of a street bum. It doesn't matter because none of it was mine to begin with. It doesn't matter if I've built a business up from the ground and now I'm thriving or even just comfortable. It doesn't matter because that was never mine anyway. It was always the Lord's. So that grain that these people planted, and they planned on having grain and bread and all of these things in the future, doesn't matter. It wasn't theirs. It was the Lord's to give. It was the Lord's to take away. So the call to lamentation is given. And as much as I wanted to get to a more positive place, it doesn't look like I'm going to get there. But I do want to go on, and I'm going to try to finish chapter 1. Here we go. The call to lamentation. Put on the sackcloth, you priests, and mourn. The wail, you ministers before the altar. Come and spend the night in sackcloth, you who minister before God, for the grain offerings and the drink offerings are withheld from the house of your God. In other words, those of you who are preachers better get on your face even harder than those who are not. Your people are suffering, and not for nothing. It's partly your fault. You've let them get into rebellion. Get on your face. So as much as we kind of live in a society where certain preachers are, you know, wearing Armani suits and driving Mercedes-Benzes, when our country is suffering in the spiritual challenges that they're currently having, what right do pastors have to flash their cash and their thick bankrolls and write their books about how wonderful life can be when we understand that struggle is happening and our country is going through a spiritual just challenge, right? Declare the holy fast, call on a sacred assembly, summon the elders and all who are in the land to the house of the Lord your God, and cry out to the Lord. In other words, these people are going to have no food. You leaders, take the time to make a choice to fast right now. Get on your face, fast. Number one, it preserves food for other people, but number two, understand that your inaction has caused some problems. Your lack of passion, you're going through the motions, And by leaders in the Lord, I would expand this not just to pastors and not just to religious leaders, not to Christian leaders, but I would expand this. Gentlemen, we are the priests of our family. As the leader in our family, when our family is going through the challenge, how many of us as men, as fathers, as husbands, take the moment to fast and pray before the Lord before we lash out at our spouse? Before the challenges of the financial hardships get into our marriage, maybe we need to be on our face before the Lord personally and individually. Right? Before we start analyzing all of the problems outside of our household, maybe we need to analyze the problems within our heart. And so that's why Joel is giving a very specific command to the leaders. This happened on your watch. What are you doing to make it right with the Lord? Alas for that day, for the day of the Lord is near. It will come in like a destruction from the Almighty. Has not the food been cut off before our very eyes? Joy and gladness from the house of your God. Seeds shriveled beneath the clods. The storehouses are in ruins. The granaries have been broken down. The grain has dried up. How the cattle moan. Nothing for the cows to eat. The herds mill about, and because they have no pasture, even the flocks of sheep are suffering. I'm going to end at chapter 2. To you, the Lord, I call. For the fire has devoured the pastures in the wilderness. The flames have burned up all of the trees in the field. Even the wild animals pant for you. The streams of water have dried up and fire has devoured the pastures in the wilderness. So when all the green is gone and everything is dried up, now the fires come and consume even the stems. So we're going to actually kind of close on this note. So we're going to invite up the worship team at this time, which sounds like a wonderful time to end. I know how happy that this has made you. But I'm not actually going to try and leave you with a happy note. It's not my purpose. Because not everything is happy in life. Life is real, right? Life sometimes kicks you in the teeth. And speaking from experience as somebody who has gone through a moment of losing absolutely everything and having to start over, there is a thought of hopelessness, of where do I go? And I don't know about you, but when I get into that hopelessness, I just stand in one spot, afraid to move. Kind of gun shy of going left and getting kicked in the teeth again, or going right and getting kicked in the teeth again, right? And I've been there, and it's so challenging. And maybe after this year, depending on what your work situation is, maybe you've been in a similar situation. Maybe you've lost the blessings of the Lord. And by the way, the blessings of the Lord aren't always money. In fact, it's rarely money, right? How many times has God given us warning about how easy it is for a rich man to become a worshiper of money? Therefore, the blessings he gives us is rarely money. But think about the blessings of the Lord. The Lord's blessings are often ministry, friendships, relationships. All of those things are blessings of the Lord. And if you've ever gone through a time where you've lost the relationships in your life, you've lost the ability to minister, you've lost the ability to, maybe you've lost your position. I'm telling you, honestly, when I say I've lost a moment where I've lost everything, I've lost everything that I began to value about myself. And as men, I'm sorry, I don't know that that ladies understand this as well, but if we lose our job, we start to lose our identity a little bit. And how many of us have been to a place where we start to lose our identity? I used to think this about myself. I used to think I was a good, whatever my career is. I used to think I was a passionate this. I used to think I was a great friend, or I used to think I was really good at this. And now all of a sudden the Lord has said, by the way, all of that was granted to you by me. You've gone off the rails, and I'm going to pull that back. Can the Lord do that? I'll tell you honestly, he has in my life before. It wasn't the most fun opportunity that I've had, but it does work. Because it does wake you up to say, I need to get on my face. I need to realize that that wasn't mine to begin with. I need to realize that that position that I had was only there by the grace of God anyway. That money that I had was only there by the grace of God anyway. Those relationships, those friendships, the way that I was respected, all of that was a blessing from God anyway. And so maybe it is a shift. Right now, I feel like a lot of people in our community, in our nation, are going to be going through a transition. There are certain fields of work that are going to become non-existent now because of a new way of life. That's going to put people into this situation. Very frankly, the only thing I can think of, get on my face before the Lord, repent. Don't worry about the relationships I've lost. Let's look towards the future. Let's see what the Lord has for me next. Let me first correct my relationship with the Lord. Let me get on my face. Let me fast. Let me pray. And let me seek the face of God to see what's next. That's all I have to do. It doesn't matter what caused the situation. It doesn't matter if the enemy caused it or if the Lord caused it. The same reaction is required. If I've lost everything, get on my face before the Lord. This is a great time to call Jason up to call us into communion.
Wow, would you guys stand with me as we close out this morning in communion? And how did Mac do? Oh, man. You know, that was it's going to be a good book, Joel. And I was thinking about what Mac was talking about when he was giving the story about these locusts that just come in and they devour, and how I was reminded, and I was talking to the worship team about this earlier, about when I was young and I'd go visit my grandma. She worked graveyard. And if you guys are ever familiar with locusts, you know, like Mac was saying, they don't shut up. They've got this huge buzzing and hum. And, you know, my grandma would say, Jason, she'd wake up in the, you know, afternoon all mad because they woke her up. And she'd tell me to go out there and squirt the trees down with the hose to shut the locusts up. And if they started buzzing too loud, I'd get scared. She'd come out of her room and beat me because she was getting woke up by the locusts. So I'm always out there like every half hour spraying these trees down to shut these locusts up. And as I was thinking about that story, I was just kind of thinking of how there's sin when it creeps up into our life. It is a lot like these locusts in a way where sin has a way of kind of clinging on to you and just constantly irritating you and bugging you, and it's constant. And you know, when we see that, the joy and the gospel and what Mac was teaching this morning is that we have an opportunity that when we're being bugged or we're like, there's that constant thing in our spirit that something's not right, we have the ability and the privilege to go back to God and just say, Lord, listen, I need to start from ground level, you know, from ground zero. I just need to start over. Lord, I'm sorry. I need to be forgiven. I've gone off the rails. I've done my own thing. You know, and how many people today, when they've got that constant buzzing and bugging and irritation in life and they don't know how to deal with it, they're going to Dr. Phil or Amazon or some kind of podcast. You know what's going to fill that up? Going back to Jesus. And if you're here this morning and maybe you've kind of gone off the rails in rebellion, and you're like these people and there's just been something eating and eating and eating and devouring and eating, You have an opportunity right now to leave this place better than you ever came in. Simple. By turning your heart to the Lord. Or maybe you don't know what's bugging you. You don't know what's going on in your life, but whatever it is, you're just totally uneasy and you're not finding any peace. That's a message to you to turn your heart and your face to the Lord. And for others of us, when we get like this and we get bugged and irritable and sin has been devouring things in our life, man, I just want to praise God with you that we know we don't have to let it go another moment, another day, another week, that we can just turn around right here and now and say, God, forgive us. And you know what? The Bible says that He's faithful and just to forgive us and that He'll never turn us away. So whatever's been going on in your life, I don't know what spot you're in, but I do know that Jesus is the answer, amen. And so, Father, we just love you. We thank you for that constant irritation in our life that comes from sin, that something's not right. If we belong to you, it makes sense that when we're trying to connect or belong to something else other than you, we're not going to be satisfied. It just doesn't work. And so, Father, I pray over everybody here today, Lord. Pray for the one that's come in that's irritable, upset, complacent. Lord, that you right now, as they're just seeking to turn their face to you in humility and asking for new life, Lord, asking for healing, asking for encouragement, seeking wisdom from you, Lord, that as they do that, and we just, me included, Father, just turning my face to you and saying, I'm sorry, Lord, I let locusts in. And I just pray that you forgive me and that you heal my mind and my thinking. Put me back on solid ground, Lord. We love you. We thank you for all your blessings. In Jesus' name. And the church said, amen.